right around 8 years to faith restoration up there. Especially when I first started out, I thought, you know what? I'm not going to waste my time going to a building if I'm not going to get nothing. And I'm going to make sure if everything lies with me, I'm going to receive. And so that's what I did. I put my attention, and the Lord had to teach me a time or two to lay things down outside, insulated coveralls, weights and all that, take them off, go in the house of the Lord with a focus on Him, you know, and believing that you're going to receive, believing that you're going to leave changed and all of that. And I'm believing that for us today. Praise God. So let's ask Him to help us today. Father, we just praise You. And we thank You for that awesome Sunday school lesson we heard this morning, God. We thank You for Your anointing. And we just thank You, Father, for the power of Your word, Lord. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit this morning, Lord. We thank You for what we've received up to now, Lord. But we thank You, Lord, that Your kingdom will come in this service, Lord, as it is in heaven. It will come in us. Your kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And Your kingdom is in us, God, according to Your word. And we believe it and we receive it. And Father, we just ask You and thank You, Lord, that You give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive and understand, Lord. We thank You this morning for impartation and revelation in the advancement of Your kingdom in us, God, and Your will, that we will walk fully in Your will in this earth and accomplish what You've called us to do, Lord, each as individuals and as a ministry, God. God, and we thank You that signs, wonders, and miracles will follow this service today, Lord, and we'll be sure to give You all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, God's people say it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, if I was going to title the sermon this morning, it would be Believe and Don't Waver, or that's all she's got. Quality decisions, because both of them are just clashing in this morning about quality decisions. And quality decisions will help you believe and not waver. And people get, I'll mention that out to people, God's people, some of God's people sometimes, and I'll say, have you made quality decisions? And they'll say, quality decision? We never heard that statement before. And I said, I know. I said, and I'll tell them, God spoke that to me about making quality decisions. And I'll tell them, a quality decision is a decision that you make about your circumstances and life based on the Word of God, and you ain't going to waver. I said, that's what a quality decision is. A quality decision will put you on a path of being able to believe and receive from the Lord. I mean, because, you know, God didn't, I mean, just like the one time Teresa talked about that God changed His mind because He wasn't going to look bad, you know. They just got God upset, you know, and He just going to kill them all. He regretted that He created them, you know, and all of that. Because of what, that when God did that, that wasn't God's will. That wasn't even the will of God. The will of God was that they follow Him and love Him, and He loves them. And the same way today, He's the same way with us today. You know, and I believe that, you know, because of Jesus, the Bible says that mercy and grace came through Jesus. You know, and out of our ignorance and all of that, we still get God's mercy and God's grace and God's favor on our lives. And when we got a heart that is right towards the Lord. And Teresa covered some things, and she was funny. She's not a funny person, you know. She's funny when she don't try to be funny, you know. And so, I mean, she was, you know, and all of that this morning. But she was on saying you're sorry and all of that, you know. She was on, and God was on. See, He wants to kill pride in our life. Pride won't let you say you're sorry. Pride won't say it was my fault. You know, pride will always accuse everybody but ourselves. When pride is working. When pride is working, it'll be our boss man's fault or our boss lady's fault why we can't be happy. Or it'll be, or we can't get promotion because of blah, blah, blah. Pride does that. Because, you know, the Bible says that God resists the proud. I mean, it just cuts off God's grace. I mean, it causes, and you know, there's no excuse for me to have unforgiveness towards anybody. Not in church. If you really want to get hurt, just start you a church. Start you a church and start loving people and start helping them and start pouring your life to them, and then they slice you up like a cucumber. You know? And all of that. But you know, all of that were opportunities for me and for everyone that was hurt in it to grow and develop in that being like God. You know, while we were yet sinners, He forgave us. He sent Jesus. You know, and we can be like Him. We are becoming more like Him. But she was on that. And that was a major issue, and it's a major issue in the body of Christ. Well, I mean, these people that I believe that is supposed to be in this church and churches, they won't go because they don't like Cape Owen. Now, Monty's overcame. This dude's overcame a lot. I'm like a rabbit. I'm wide open, and he's like a turtle in low gear. So for me to work with Monty, I have to get seasoned. I mean, there's nothing wrong with neither one of us. You know? But you know what? If pride's there, well, that Monty, good God, just move out of the way. Let me play. I'll learn how to play the guitar. You know? But humility works with others. See, pride forgives others. Pride looks over. Forgiveness will call love, will cause you to cover instead of uncover, no matter what they've done to you. See, and it's not about them. It's about you. It's about your life and your good life and your peace and your joy and your future and your finances, your prosperity. But it hurts. I know it hurts. Jesus, the Bible says that He is a high priest that is moved by the feeling of our... He knows. But He ain't going to get all jittery and shook and bent out of place. He's the captain of our salvation. And he's already prepared the ship. Hallelujah. And He's the captain of our salvation. And He wants us to be steady in the storms just like He was. Hey, sometimes I don't feel like I'm married, but I know I am because she's still there when I get there. Oh, yeah, I am. There's Teresa. I don't have to feel married to know I'm married. I don't have to feel like forgiving somebody to forgive somebody, no matter what they've done to me. I've had people do me majorly wrong even after I become a Christian, and it affected my whole life and my whole business and my whole family. And it took me 6 months to get over it. But I forgave. God would say, forgive. And I'd say, I don't want to forgive them. I want you to get them. They hurt me, God. They hurt me, God. They hurt me, God. God, they hurt me. Now go ahead and tell everybody, they hurt me, God. And God would say, I'm not, when every time I would pray, He would say, forgive. I mean, he wouldn't give me answers to nothing or nothing. He wanted me to be like Him. They didn't deserve it. It's not because they deserved it. It's not because they were right at all. It had nothing to do with that. But what it was doing, it was trying to cause me to stumble. It was trying to cause me to get out of union with God. It was trying to cause me to mess up my future. And so I said, okay, God. He carried me to the scripture where it says, see, and I had to make a quality decision, not based on my emotions, my feelings, circumstances in that. See, I knew to make quality decisions, but that's about when I started learning about it, you know, but I didn't really know that I was going to have to do it, Johnny. I mean, you know. You can get all excited. Oh, yeah, give, and it shall be given unto you good measure. And you got $100 in your wallet, and you walk out. Oh, what a sermon. What a sermon. And God speaks to you and says, go over there and give. Go over there and give Him $100. Oh, yeah. You was all excited a few minutes ago. You was all excited, got you all excited, God's Word. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and faith is an inspiration. And you know, most of the time, if you're really in faith, you'll adjust and you will forgive. Or you will give the $100. Or you will go say, I'm sorry. God told me to tell Teresa I'm sorry one time, and I had no right to tell her I'm sorry. She was plumb wrong. Like God, I'm not exaggerating. I mean, if she didn't deserve saying me to say I'm sorry or nothing. I told God, I said, she's the one that needs to apologize to me, God. She's accusing me of stuff, you know, when I'm having altar calls and stuff. This is way back under 30 years ago, I guess, close. Long time ago. God said, tell her you're sorry. And I said, for what? For what, God? For what? Why would I want to tell her I'm sorry? I mean, I went 2 or 3 days with this with God. Why? Why me? She needs to apologize. She needs to apologize. You know, I done told her I was sorry for everything I done after I got saved. I done told her. I done told her and I wasn't laughing like she says. And so finally, after about 2 or 3 days, thinking about 3 days, I said, fine. And I go to her, I say, I couldn't do it. I thought, what is wrong with me? I can't get this out. I said, I'm sorry. Why? Pride won't let you. See, it had nothing to do with whether she was right or wrong, deserved it or didn't deserve it. It was about being obedient to the Lord. It had nothing to do with who deserved it or not. See, sometimes God asks you to forgive. You know, people ain't done nothing. People can do something to somebody you love and you can get offended at them. And they ain't even done nothing to you. You can get unforgiveness and bitter. Well, that was my best friend. I did that at church, and I almost quit the church because they corrected one of my best friends at church, and I didn't realize that he had a religious spirit. All I knew is I'm a baby in the Lord, and you know, and they corrected him, and like God, I'm about to quit church. And I've even told Brad, I said, I like him. I said, you know, I don't think that was good like that, you know. And then he went on, well, just calm down there. He said, you know, he's got a religious spirit about him, you know, that you can't see, you know. You don't, we've been, and so God helped me right there. And I said, well, I'm sorry, man. I went, there ain't no problem. It ain't no problem, you know. What was happening? Satan was trying to trip me up like Teresa was talking about right off the bat. You know, you can't let what somebody does to others get you all upset in unforgiveness. I've had people to tell me, well, you just don't know how they hurt us. Well, you don't know how we've been hurt either, homie. And we had to get before the Lord and make quality decisions. All of us have, every one of us. If you've been on this planet very long, at all, you know, I mean, Aubrey, if she's 7 and she'll say, okay, fine, Paul. She's only 7. Aiden, I got on to him, Mother. The boy went out on the road with my gator. I'm out there and I'm like, and he knows better to get on that road. You know, I'm out there and I'm in the garden last Tuesday and I just happened to look up and he's just going down the road like it's just normal. And I'm like, hey. He stopped and I threw everything down and I run across there and I told him, I said, get over there. I've never whooped him. I said, get over there. I said, don't do that either. I got on that gator and I backed up, hit the bank, boof. I was mad, you know. And I said, what are you doing on the road? I said, don't you ever get on this road again. You got it? I said, I'm not even going to tell your daddy. I said, I'm not even going to tell him. I was upset, you know. Why? Because, see, God stays on our case sometimes because he knows until we forgive, we are cutting him off. Well, I got him over there and I lectured him about three more times before I got back to the garden. I said, I'm not going to spank you. Because I was thinking, spanking here, I'm going to send him home. Or I'm going to send him to grandma because they do that. The spanking's going to be left at daddy or grandma. Them two will do it. I didn't say I was right. But now I got him good. I mean, I hurt his feelings bad. I told him, I said, now, I got off. I said, did you hear what I told you? Don't you ever get on that highway again, ever. You got it? I said, now get over there and drive. He got it back on the gator, went straight out to grandma's house and parked it and went off over there and sat down somewhere solid. I guess. So Teresa, she says, where's Aiden? Because I watched him. She said he went. I said he come to the house. Well, I don't see him. I see the gator. I said he's mad, hurt. I said I hurt him. So finally got him around over there, you know. So yesterday, I got his go-kart and I was out there riding, you know, and I was watching him ride the go-kart and stuff. And he goes down through the front yard, went on this side of the ditch, close to the road, come up there where I was sitting. He said, hey, Papa. And I said, yeah. He said, I didn't get on that road. He said, I went on this side of that ditch. I said, good boy, you got it. I threw him a peace sign and thumbs up. And he takes off, you know. Well, you know what? I had to get serious with him. Because that is serious. If somebody comes around through there and don't see that gator and hits him and throws him in the ditch and kills him. Well, do you know unforgiveness and fear and all of that stuff is killing us spiritually? I mean, it's just like a truck coming at you on the highway, bam, you know, and you just give in to it, you know, and you must keep a forgiving heart. It hurts. It hurts. I know it hurts. But you know what? There's healing in his wings. He said he's going to come with healing in his wings. And when we make a quality decision to forgive, that we're not going to let nothing mess our future up, here comes the power of that healing. And I can tell you today that I forgave people and was able to sit in boats with them and never have a thought of what they did to me. That's how healed I got. That's how healed it took place. And that almost to the point I was like, whoo, this feels so good. Maybe they'll do it again. Because if it just gets richer and richer and richer, well, then let God just hurt me again because I'm going to forgive. Then I made a quality decision that I was going to forgive anybody before they did anything to me. I started renewing my mind. What is that? That's a quality decision based on the word that when it comes, that I'm able to say, Lord, I just forgive them right now. I just release them right now in the name of Jesus. Then that thing can't eat me 6 months no more. That thing can't bother me 3 months no more. That thing can't walk with me not a week anymore. There comes a place where you can't be offended. You will not be offended, but you must make quality decisions and operate in it. That's why you can't break my marriage. I can't be broke. Why? I bonded with the Word. I bonded with the script, with the Holy Spirit. I don't bond with the way it feels. I don't bond with. I don't yield to. Well, I've had a divorce. I can't help it. The next one, just do it right. If you want a good marriage, get in Jesus. If you want a good life together, stay in Jesus. If you want, you know, if you want to have a prosperous life, and I'm not just talking about money, get in Him, get in His Word, meditate on it day and night, hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it, and think about it and sleep with it and talk with it. James says, be doers of the Word, not hearers only. The word doers means to embrace it. Embrace the Word of God. Hallelujah. You must forgive. If I was a teenager, know what I know right now, I would be a Bible student. I would be a go after God. I want God's will more than I want anything, because I think that I'm going to plan out my future. But God is the only one that really knows the plans that He has for me. And I need to know His plans. And when you get in the Word of God, and you start getting in the Word of God, and you start flowing with God, He'll begin to reveal His will. He'll bring up desires in you that you never thought you would have to do for Him, or do for your marriage, or do for ministry. When you see people unplugging out of ministry and God ain't told them to, it won't be long you'll see them out if they're not careful. That's how come marriage, well, we got married too young. I didn't get to enjoy life, and marriage is busted up on account of that stupid thinking. Dumb thinking. That's dumb. He tried it on me. I was 18. And poor Teresa, she deserves, she was 13 when I met her. Poor thing, never did get to enjoy life. Never did get to experience life. Why, I'm the best thing ever happened to her other than Jesus. She'd be dumb to give in to that. Right? You can scar my face up and I still look good to me. But God, I mean, I'm good. I am. She watched that movie, and that guy says, he says, I'm good. I'm very good. And so I think, that sounds like me. Well, I'm good and I'm very good. You know, but Jesus made me that way. He didn't make me look at myself and say, you poor old washed up thing. Oh, you've been through hell and high waters in that ministry. Oh, you've just tried that church and been from 70 to nobody and back to 3 and up to 8, you poor thing. He don't make me think like that. I'm just now taking off. Dude, you wait till we flying higher. How do I get that? Because I made a quality decision. God's word's right. It did not appear what we shall be, but when He comes, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him like He is. He's coming back after a glorious church. He's not coming back, and He's doing it to us right now. We're part of that glorious church being built up in the Word of God. Without the Word of God, you got an empty tank of gas. Empty. You're going to exist and you're going to be miserable as a Christian. But you got to feed on that word. That's kind of like putting fuel in your car. And then when you're feeling a little weak or something, you need to change your spark plugs in your car. It ain't running as good as it was. You know, change your spark plugs. Just put on an extra sermon. That's like putting spark plug, getting you a tune up. A guy bought a brand new one ton. I mean, a friend of mine, a brother, and he didn't know you're supposed to check the oil in it. He blowed the truck up. Never checked the oil. It ran out of petroleum. I never changed it. It kept saying full. It didn't use no oil. And I mean, he's like, well, why change it? It's full. You know, why do anything? And it got out of petroleum and locked the truck up. I told him, I said, did you not know you need to change the oil? It cost $60. And because he hadn't had regular oil changes, the warranty was out on it. Still was under warranty. They wouldn't cover the engine because you didn't service the engine. See, if we don't maintain and build, once we get to a level of faith, we got to maintain it. I mean, a big job just didn't work out the other day, and it's gonna cost a little money, man. You know, and it could be part my fault and part the contractor's fault. And so anyways, it all worked, and it all worked out to where I could get the job finished, you know. And I was thinking, I'm telling you right now, but God, I'm not eating that. You know, he's going to eat that, or I'll eat it this one time. I thought, I can give this whole job to him and be done with him forever. He better realize you need me. And then God says, what? He said, what? See how prideful that is? Bless God, you think you're going to do me wrong? I'm just going to cut you off. That might not be business, but now you can't be doing this stuff without Jesus. Just like the food ministry, I'm not hauling rats here, and I made the confession. I helped them curse them, and I paid for the first start initial out of my own pocket. I got to help them learn how to believe God, I reckon. I helped the other one. Now I got another one. Now I got another 15 years, seems like. But that's all right. Paul said, the more I love you, the less you love me, but I'll gladly be spent for you. See, faith won't let you wear out. You can be done over, wrong, over and over and over. But when you stay in faith based on your quality decision, based on the word that you are going to be a forgiver, praise God, then you can't get burnt out. You won't burn out. The word won't let you be burnt out. The faith of God won't let you be burnt out. Well, the last load that we unloaded, I left out of there, and I said, Lord, I said, this is my last load of rats. And I'm pulling out on that road, bless God, and then all of a sudden, I thought, you better humble yourself, boy. And then I said, I will not come get another load. Taking these rats representing you. Representing the church. Now that part's right. But now to tell God you're not going to do it anymore because you don't like how you're having to do, or you might have to go through some more, that's not good. God, I would go to church on Wednesday night, but I mean, you know, I got to have a break. Why don't you tell him to let all the rest of us do him like that too, please? Since you're so special. That you think that you don't need Wednesday night service or Friday night, whatever service your church is having. I'm talking to people all over the world. It's called faithfulness. It's called dedicated. It's called quality choices. April's sitting here this morning. Now I'm making an example, God is, out of this girl. She turns down $28 an hour, I think, ain't it? No, it's double. It's time and a half. 36. She turned down $36 an hour this morning. $36 an hour. She's coming to church. $36. She's not for sale. I'm glad she's back there so I can just preach all over her today. She's not for sale. They told her, now she's been taught this stuff, quality decisions. Don't walk by sight. Walk by faith. We live by faith. I mean, if you've been here a few months, you ought to be walking in some kind of faith. You ought to be realizing, but God, hey, there's a walk here that you ought to be seeing God move for you all the time. All the time. Somebody say all the time. Just like yesterday, I started back after I got adjusted and calmed down and seen God. Actually, God worked a miracle. Four sections in those doors would not work in this $15,000 job, and these people have done 3 weeks of not getting these doors. They done put off a shipment of getting their equipment in this big place in Rangeville up there, and they're waiting on me to get these doors in. I'm waiting on the door company to get them here. I'm gung-ho ready to go get her done. And then I get them there, and there the sections are not right. But they just happened to be four extra sections to my load. When we counted the sections, I said, I don't know why them's on there. I said, I don't need them sections. Me and Travis went and counted them. No, we counted them. No, that's it. So we left. Well, while he's done 20 minutes out, and Travis cuts these sections open, and these sections will not work. And those doors. And so I'm there, and I mean, I am just about to explode. I mean, here I am. I mean, it's going to be another 3 to 4 weeks before they can get the sections. Now the pressure has come down on me. You understand? And I'm standing there thinking, and I'm thinking, oh, man, this can't be happening here. And so then I thought, them four sections was on that truck. That's what I need. Might not be glass sections, but at least I can get this job done. And this dude can go on and get his business rocking. And so anyhow, to make a long story short, he pulled off in Hollywood, Alabama, and I go over there and I come back and I was thinking to myself on the way back, I handled it, called him, got everything set in line so he can get everything right and get it to me as soon as he can. And then I thought after I got it all settled, I said, there was a miracle that them four sections was on that truck and they came to me and I didn't need them. Right. See, and then it didn't, Travis, man. I said, that's the benefits of being a consistent truster in the Lord. Consistent. I'm not dependent on that door company. See, do you understand what I just said? Don't just try to believe God whenever a need shows up for you. Be consistently trusting the Lord all the time. And then he makes up, he takes care of those things like that. That was a miracle, number one. Then Travis, the owner, comes out there and that owns the building, not the contractor, and he's feeling all the tension and all of that. Now, him and Beth, they've been cranking up some preaching for the last 2 weeks in their ears. We rode an hour and a half job, and he turned on some preaching, and he said, you want to earplug that? And I said, yeah, give me an earplug. So me and him and that little heathen works for us, he's sitting over there quiet and we're over here getting full. So we listen to an hour and a half. So Travis, him and Beth, they've been cranking up preaching and different things and everything. And then I get back and I done rolled it over on the Lord, you know, and told the Lord, you work all things together. See, I made a quality decision that when things are not working out, that Romans 8:28 will work for me. That is a quality decision that I'm going to say that out of my mouth. I'm going to think that. That's what I'm going to speak instead of saying, oh, God, this is a mess. What am I going to do? The Bible is clear what you do. Keep your mouth shut with unbelief and fear and believe him to work a miracle for you. Believe based on the word of God. Paul said in Corinthians over there, something 13, whatever it is, Beth, you got that? No, I believe it's Corinthians. Let me have that. That's not it. All right, just cut that off. That's not it. I'll just quote it. Can't think of where it's at. But Paul says, as we have believed, therefore we speak. I wrote it down wrong or something. But you know what? I ain't dependent on that scripture. It's in here. I'm not even dependent on that scripture. I'll do that for you. I know what it says. every one of us as believers should, when a preacher gets up, we ought to be able to sit there and quote it with him. Quote it with her. Well, that's what they get paid to do. Y'all don't pay me to do that. You got it? Well, I know the church pays you. No, it don't, to pay Teresa. I gave my salary to them. Yeah, 2 Corinthians, Beth. I wrote it down wrong, didn't I? There it is. Teresa knew. She knew where to find it. We having the same spirit of faith. We got the same spirit of faith. If you ain't born again, you ain't got no faith. You ain't got the faith of God. Everything that I get up here and preach will be silly to you. Like saying, get up and speak to that tornado coming my way. That'll seem silly to you. Well, James Spann ain't got the faith I got, evidently. He just telling you how it's coming. That's all he can do. Oh, it's coming, boy, it's coming. He'll get you scared. Pointing at it's coming your way. You're like, oh, God, oh, coming my way. Oh, I run to Tennessee because he told me. It switched directions before it got to me and went to Tennessee and caught me up there. The very storm that I was running from. Why, you think that really happened? No, I know I was in the vehicle. Ain't no think about it. And then the Lord told me, he said, the very thing that Job feared came on him. He said, you drawed that to you. It turned after you. Well, 95% of the church, God, he's stupid, man. I mean, he thinks that fear caused that storm, you know, to move and change and all of that. Why would God say the very thing that Job feared came on him? One of my oldest brothers died with cancer. And then my other brother, about 3 weeks later, oh, I'm feeling something too. I said, you better stop it. I said, you better stop that. You had that feeling before he died. Now you're scared. Stop it. That's why I say never believe based on outward evidence. Believe based on the Word. Hallelujah. What's the Word say? By Jesus' stripes I'm healed. What's the Word say? No plague will come nigh my dwelling. Only with my eyes will I see the reward of the wicked. It says that the healing is the children's bread. Well, the doctor said, well, you can go ahead and just settle it. That what the doctor says is concrete and it's not. No. It's not concrete. That's facts. Truth will set you free, right? Jesus said, if you continue in my word, so now there's the problem. I don't know why God don't heal me. How much do you eat this week? How much do you eat? Well, I mean, I had cornbread. And, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the word. I'm talking about how much did you dream about how healed you are? How much did you sit around? Well, this is the way it is. Good Lord. I mean, Satan's told me to sign up on disability. He's stupid. If he thinks I'm going to sign up on disability, I'm going to disable him. I'm disabling him. He's a disabled foe when it comes to me. I disabled him. How'd you do that? Faith. God's grace. Bible says in Ephesians over there, taking the shield of faith that quenches all the fiery darts of the devil. You've got to make a conscious decision. You know what I used to do? It says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Ephesians. So I used to go, come on, say, where are you? Where are you, idiot? You can't see this. You can't see this shield, and I can't see you, so that makes both of them spiritual. I said, but if you just let me know where you are, I'm going to slice your head off with it. That sounds stupid, don't it? No, it don't to spiritual people. To somebody that's got an ear to hear, that Bible says that the Word is the sword of the Spirit. Taking the sword of the Spirit. And the Bible says that faith, taking the shield of faith. So, That's why Satan don't want you in church on Wednesday. Here we go again with that church thing. Well, just quit. Don't listen to no sermon no other time the rest of your life. You won't be bothered with hearing. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together. Just cut God off. Just shut Him off. Well, it ain't God, it's them preachers. We got to preach the Bible. I mean, God didn't say, come on, boy, saved you. Just go tell them anything you want to. Anything you want to preach or work. We done heard this morning, the traditions of men makes the Word of God none effect. That's why Santa Claus ain't getting no time here. That's why Halloween, we're not going to have no witches, ghosts, and goblins and all that garbage here. That's how come in Easter Sunday to the Easter to the world, I don't celebrate Easter. I celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. That's why this church, I'm not going to get into the traditions of men. And I didn't raise my son, and I don't think I'm holier than now. He never liked Chris. I mean, went in yesterday, and Aubrey said, well, Dad, something, I don't know. She got on the gator with me. Well, Dad, something, I don't remember what. I said, really? I said, I think you need to go with Dad by yourself more often. Let Mom go have fun. And she looked at me, and she said, why, Papa? I said, what all did y'all get at Walmart? Look at y'all. It's not Christmas. It's not your birthday. I said, and both of y'all, you're Dad. I'm straightening her out. Your dad bought y'all both brand new bicycles. I'm going to get on to him. It's not your birthday. They getting on to me about giving you money. I pop them babies $20 right quick. You know, y'all go get you some bubble gum or something. I said, no. I said, your daddy, see, and that's the way I taught Travis about Christmas. And you know what, Aiden? Tell Aiden, nah, Santa Claus ain't real. He told me one day, he said, yes, he is, Papa, I seen him on TV. I seen him somewhere they went where you go set with Santa. That ain't Santa. That's some washed up old man sitting there. Ain't got a job nowhere, and he's got time to sit around for 3 weeks just to let kids on his knee. I always told Travis, I am your Santa Claus, baby. Jesus is raising Dad up, and you'll never lack for nothing. But you know what? Santa Claus, they make Santa Claus wishes, and poor kids. They get down, Santa Claus, if you can hear me, would you bring me this and bring me that and bring me that? And then Christmas, they're looking, because Santa Claus, half the cookies are eaten and the milk's gone that Mom and them did. Like Santa Claus come on in here last night. While y'all was asleep, we told you he's coming. They rode them reindeer. All of that's hogwash. I know it's a fat, ugly cow in the church. Oh, God, you're ruining it for our kids. I can't believe you would take the fun out of Christmas. They're Christians that does it. Out in the world, they'd be like, no, he's not real, man, but we have fun with it, you know. Ain't going to fool me none. Santa Claus ain't. The church believes he's real. They fight for him. Y'all will never be the same on Christmas Day again. You'll sit there and you'll be like, well, I can't say that now because I heard the truth. I can't lie to my kids anymore. I can't lie to them no more. That's the way I felt. I can't lie to my son because one day he'll get up and say, Dad, why'd you lie to me about that Santa Claus? I believed it. Then I have to tell him, well, son, I just want to make sure you had fun for Christmas. Yeah, but Dad, you're a liar. He never can tell me I'm a liar. Now, that probably wouldn't ever happen, but that was a scenario in my mind that ain't going to never happen, that Travis don't have confidence in me as Dad. And not only that, I'm not going to glorify Christmas without Jesus. He is Christmas. Christ-like. They want to take, say happy holiday. Keep Christ out of it.
Happy holidays, guys. Hope y'all get your Reeboks.
Just take Christ out. You won't be getting no Reeboks. You'll be going to the thrift store to get you some wore-out tennis shoes. Holy ones. Well, but God, I just go out, I'll just go up there and eat, and I'll tell Teresa, hey, man, you know how many, you know, you need some shoes. We go back there, and I've been there one day, and I said, don't want you just get you a couple of pair. She got about 30 pair hanging up in there. She likes shoes. The woman wears them all day and all night. She wears out a brand new pair. Don't ever get them dirty. They don't never leave the house. That's a true story. Her stepdad, she having trouble with her hip or something. I don't remember what it was. He told her, he said, if you'll wear shoes all the time, he said, you won't have that trouble. Roger, his name was Roger. He'd gone on to be with the Lord now. And so she wears shoes day and night. I'm like, Lord, she's a weirdo. Went in the other day and she had a new pair, and I'm like, whoa, what's that? I looked at them, Beth wore them yesterday, I think. I could see her when she got out of the car. That's the only thing I could see. Them shoes, I mean, they're just loud all the way a mile down yonder. I thought them and that in her purse is out of this world. Y'all seen her purse? It's a clock with real batteries running. She's unique. She's bad. I mean, she'd have, her car would be a polka dotted, well, ain't no telling what kind of colors if Travis would wrap it. But see, the Word of God is what sets us free. Free in the Lord. Free. We're in faith. We're in confidence. And now, you know what? Aubrey, she told me one day, I said, you're going to have to get a job. She's 7. I'm going to drive. I said, you're going to have to get a job. What for? I said, because, I mean, you're going to drive. You're going to have to buy a car. No, Papa, I'm not buying a car. You are. I said, never, never. That's not going to happen. Papa's not buying everything for y'all now. You're going to have to get you a job and work. But you know what? I might buy her a car. But God, I just might get her a car. I might get it when she's 14. I told her that she's going down through there. She said, Papa, I'm a crazy driver. I said, don't say that no more. She's confessing, I'm a crazy driver. Now, she's being funny because she thinks it's funny saying it in this old woman kind of voice, you know. And it's funny to her, you know. I said, don't say that. Don't say that no more now. You're a good driver. You're a funny driver, but you're not a crazy driver. Aiden told her yesterday, he said, you're just a crazy driver. I said, Aiden, don't say that over her again. He's on the go-kart. I do not need a crazy grandkid driving out on the road, a crazy one. See, the words coming out of our mouth is what's going to influence greatly our future. That is why we renew our mind to the Word of God. I'm telling you, I'm not willing. The last time James Spann had that going to bring a storm, I stood out there and I said, let me tell you something. I said, I let it slip and you took down my barn up yonder. I said, I rebuke you in the mighty name of Jesus right now. I heard through James Spann. Boy, Satan likes James Spann talking. Multitudes of people set in fear that a tornado is going to come take them out. You know, I mean, just scared of storm. Stay up all night long, you know, and worrying. Worry. Did you know it's sin to worry? Why do you want to sin every time a storm comes? Well, I can't help it. That's what Satan's told you. You can't help it. The Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can overcome fear. I spoke to it, but God, and I mean, hey, that thing took down barn about a mile from my house, went through, had to bypass my barn up there. Hallelujah. Didn't take nothing. And I was sitting there. I was like, well, Travis says, it's near to here. I said, well, we'll just stand here till it passes. Got a little rough, you know. And they're in there. Well, we better go in here. I done rebuked it. I'm like, but God, I ain't going to be moved by the, what this is looking like. You ain't touching nothing. Don't get me in fear right quick. You ain't going to do it. Praise God. Done made up my mind. Done made a quality decision. See, believe and don't waver. Don't start believing. The older you get, the weaker your body has to be.
Well, I mean, we gotta use common sense. Who told you that? Who told you that? Where'd you hear that?
Have you read it in the Bible to wait, walk, to go by common sense? I read in my Bible not to lean to my own understanding, common sense. Trust in the Lord with all of my heart. Lean not to my own understanding. In all of my ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct my path. Heard Mike Murdoch. How many knows him? A few of us. He was 18 years old. Y'all listen to me. 18. He was 18 years old and went to church. Went to this class. This fine little hot young lady was in that class. He falls in love with her. They start, you know. And he goes to the Lord, and the Lord said, don't marry her. He said, so I went to her and I told her. Now remember, the Lord said, he's 18, he's seeking the Lord. He's acknowledging the Lord, not based on his little hormones. In love, love is a car and a house and cooking supper and having diapers to change. And love is just not this. It's over after about 6 months. Life sets in. Anybody know what? Can you testify to that? Hallelujah. Well, he said, the first 7 years, Sandy was good. What? No, he went to the girl and he broke up with her. He said, the Lord said not to get married. He said, he said, I'm breaking it. We're going to have to break it off. We're going to have to stop the relationship. The Lord said, don't get married. And he stayed 3 weeks, but he was in love with her, Johnny. He loved her. So he goes back and he they hook back up and he marries her. And the first 7 years was wonderful. After 7 years, the ringer started. The divorce. And still affecting this man at 70-something today. And so he was only 20-something years old when the divorce started. Went through years and years and years and years. And he said, I asked the Lord one day, why am I having to go through this? Why? Why is things just not working like they should in this? He said, this wouldn't happen. He said, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and the Lord said, I told you not to marry her when you was 18 years old. He said, I'm reaping the results of my rebellion. I mean, all of these years. And he says, I'm 80-something years old. He said, I just want to tell you today. He said, don't miss the will of God. Don't chance missing the will of God. He said, if you find the will of God, then you do the will of God. He said, because if you don't do the will of God, it will cost you. Well, any of us knows, you know, we know it's the will of God for us to forgive. We know it's the will of God for us to fight the good fight of faith. And when we don't, we start suffering. We suffer loss. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And we thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus this morning, Lord.